You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl. I've a pretty señorita waiting for me down in old Mexico, and if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my cute little Eskimo. Sweet Fraulein down in Berlin town makes my heart start to yearn, and my China doll down in old Hong Kong waits for my return.
Ladies and gentlemen, PPC's March Around the World rolls on tonight with a stop in Germany, where Sascha Rossmuller, a journalist for a fantastic print magazine over there, is going to join us to discuss the current situation there in his fatherland. Welcome to week 4 of 5 of the 2024 installment of March Around the World. Again, joining us live right now from Bavaria, Sascha Rossmuller has held various offices and political parties going all the way back to his youth, among them the chairmanship of Germany's National Democratic Parties, the NPD Youth Organization. And from 2006 to 2009, he was vice chairman of the NPD. From 2004 to 2014, he was a parliamentary advisor in the Parliament of Saxony. And from 2010 to 2013, he was a member of the Parliamentary Board of Inquiry pertaining to innovation and technology. So he is clued in and plugged in Germany, where he joins us now. Sascha, again, great to have you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us this year.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure with you and your audience.
How about that accent, Keith? I mean, they say we got one here in Dixie, yeah. But
I was about to say, it sounds like Sardis, Mississippi.
One of the things. Go ahead, Sascha.
Bavaria is in the south of Germany, so I'm also a southern guy. The south will rise, we can say you as I as well.
I remember King Ludwig the Lover, learning about him in history class.
All right.
You remember him?
Yeah, and not personally. Old, but not so old.
But a lot of guys like him, huh?
very interesting is not Ludwig II, the most famous, but Ludwig the First, who made the most impressive architectural buildings during his time, including that the famous Valhalla with the busts of the most famous Germans. It's near in my region. If you come over to a visit to Germany, I can guide you for a sightseeing.
You know, I haven't been in Germany since 2006. It'd be interesting to know if we could get back in.
Right. Well, I never got over there. I got to France and England and Scotland and things like that.
Well, you know, you don't even have to leave the studio anymore. We can do it all here in the month of March, and we have done it. I mean, what fantastic guests and what fantastic locations we've been able to visit and check in on the well-being of our people in those distant ports of call. But I told Sascha and Q before the show started a few minutes ago that I think the hour that we have with him right now is going to be the busiest of the month. I think there's more that I need to cover with him starting right now than any other guest, as important as they all have been. And we've covered some vitally important issues, but we got a lot going on in Germany, it seems. Let's start right there, Sascha. Take this in any direction you'd like. I mean, certainly we're going to focus on some of these really provocative headlines concerning the Alternative for Germany party, the AfD. Now, you have been a member of the National Democratic Party. That is a different party that we like, now called the Homeland. Had a little bit of a rebranding there, but we're going to get to all of that in time. Let's move as fast as we can, but as responsibly as we can.
It seems to be a resurgence of conservative politics over there. You can fill us in.
Yes. Of course, there is... There is a development of a mindset charged with more protest spirit here in Germany due to the politics which made this country to a failed state. And Moreover, we are in an election year. There are many elections. We have not just the European election in June. We also have in three federal states in the eastern part of the Republic, we have parliamentary elections as well as municipal elections. And in these three states, the polls show a clear trend regarding conservative right change, regarding the Alternative für Deutschland, the AfD. It's the federal states of Brandenburg, Thuringen, and Saxonia, the last one, which is the interesting. And in the last polls, as in, showed that in all of the three mentioned federal states, the AfD is round about 30% plus, and is heading the polls. But nearly more interesting than this is what the polls have to say about the parties who build the coalition, the parties who govern Germany. For example, in Saxonia, the Social Democrats, that's the party of the Chancellor of Germany, in the last polls, 6%. The
wow.
Greens, 6%, 6, or in Thuringia, 7.4, the party of the German Chancellor. And the Greens range in this three federal states from 5% to 7.5. And very interesting, I will delve deeper regarding Saxonia, the third coalition party, the Free Democrats. This is the economic party, the liberal capitalist party. The party who provides the Minister of Finances in Germany has in the last poll in Saxonia 1.5%.
So now you need to consider secession like we do down here in the South.
Yes, yes. So now you can understand why the establishment is frightened and why we witness here a kind of a modern witch hunt against all political dissidents or political heretics in a way which paints an ugly picture of the status quo of that real existing parliamentarism. And the AfD, we will speak about my party and another very, very interesting formation in Saxonia, which is partly in municipal parliaments, in coalition, in common factions with my party. But as the AfD is the most a little bit more moderate and the most successful currently, so it is seen by the establishment as a threat. But
all right,
if the establishment would be honest, we will never witness that in this life. If they would be honest, it is a threat not so much to the democratic order as just always pretended, but to its place at the parliamentary feeding troughs.
All right, Sasha. Excellent of opening statement here, and I want to dig a little bit deeper into that as quickly as we can. I want to cover with you two headlines and then read excerpts from the two respective articles about the AfD, which is not your party, and then we'll talk about the differences between the AfD and the Homeland, which is your party, formerly the NPD. I'm going to read one thing to you, have you respond, then read something else and have you respond, and you cut through the spin, okay? You tell us if this is hyperbole, if this is on target or way off. This headline, these are global headlines coming out of Germany. One reads, Germany looks to stop the far right from assuming power. That's the headline. The excerpt reads, for Germany, a country that knows something about how extremists can hijack a government, the surging popularity of the far right has forced an awkward question. How far should a democracy go in restricting a party that many believe is bent on undermining it? In other words, meaning, how can you protect democracy from the voters who wish to vote for a party that you don't like?
Yeah, the democracy no longer means the will of the people.
It says here, this is a quandary for politicians and legal experts that are grappling with across the country as support surges for the Alternative for Germany, a far-right party whose backing now outstrips each of the three parties in the governing coalition. Sasha, you just touched on that. The story continues. Not only is the AfD the most popular party in three states holding elections this year, it is polling nationwide as high as 20%. German politicians have become increasingly alarmed that the party could wield influence in the federal government. And it's talking about some actions that the existing government is trying to take in real time to stiff arm the rise of the AfD. It goes on to say that Germany's domestic intelligence agency says that one-third of the party's members are extremists, whatever that means. All right, how much of this is true? How much of this is just, I mean, sometimes things sound too good to be true. How good are things over there, at least
from theory? From the right-wing standpoint.
Yeah.
Let's put it in these words. It's I lack the crystal ball to know the future, but the development is pretty interesting. And in regard of the intelligence services, this institution is just the instrument for what at all what you quoted here is. It's a kind of a psyop operation. There are, regarding the intelligence services, there are numerous decisions of several courts on different levels that this intelligence service, that those assessments, those are only as assessments in the sense of an expression of opinion, but by no means justiciable facts. The unconstitutionality of a party, of a political party, can be stated only by the Supreme Court. And the hurdles for that, fortunately, up to now, regarding our constitution, are extraordinarily high. They tried it twice with my party and failed. And the last time was 68 years ago. It was only in the beginning of this republic after the war when this two times happened. So this modern witch hunt is more a psyop operation. We all know that in theory, at least, the understanding of democracy implies the acceptance of potential changes in the political structure. However, to let that become true, there is an important and crucial prerequisite that for not staging distortions of competition to the detriment of an opposition. And there are huge high hurdles for banning a party. The court has to apply strict criteria. The insinuation of alleged banning criteria does not serve the truth, but it does have an effect. And that's the crucial point we have to talk about on how we have to behave. In a collusion of government and mainstream media, being able to vent unproven allegations or purported consequences in a broad-based manner, defamatory, derogatory, abusive criticism and discriminalization are unfairly feigned at psychologically forcing the potential sympathizers or the followers of the right-wing opposition to distance themselves in order to escape social isolation. And the stigmatization of purportedly getting banned is precisely an example of such an approach. But there won't be a banning of the AfD. They have implemented lower thresholds. They, for the first time a few weeks ago, exercised on my party, which in regard of the financial subsidies parties receive or then no longer receive. For those who are intelligent enough not to go on that regime lime sticks, there are other threat scenarios more easier to enforce in everyday life, such as maybe a loss of civil servant status for members of right-wing parties and such things. That they will implement, and the repressions before court for if you are on the limits of what's allowed in the name of free speech, that repression will become more dangerous and difficult. But we won't see a banning. We will see they will enforce the smear campaigns. The smear campaigns and the saber rattling and the threatenings and everything else. The platforming, the debanking, all what we know. Everything May Party has experienced was a blueprint what will be the what will happen to the AfD next.
See, that's key, and we are going to circle back here in just a moment and talk about the differences. AfD's making all of this news. Why is Sasha a member of a different party? What are the differences between the two parties there that might stand up for people of our mindset? But I think one thing you are seeing right now, and you nailed it, Sasha, this is the thing that they did to the NPD, now the Homeland, now they're doing it to the AfD just by extension, one exit down further, the ideological interstate, I guess you could say, Keith. Respond to this, and you're seeing the smear campaign or what they think would be a smear in the global press right now out of Germany. This is a hot topic. Here's another headline. Respond to this, and then we'll toss it to Keith before the break. In Germany, the headline reads, "The far right is on the rise again. How did it happen?" Associated Press story out of Berlin reads, "When Sabine Thonk joined a recent demonstration in Berlin against Germany's far-right party," talking about the AfD, "it was the first time in years she felt hopeful that the growing power of the extremists in her country could be stopped. Thonk, 59 years old, had been following the rise of the Alternative for Germany, or AfD, with unease. But when she heard about a plan to deport millions of people, she felt called to action. I never thought such inhuman ideas would be gaining popularity in Germany again. I thought we had learned the lessons from our past," Thonk said. "Many Germans believed their country had developed an immunity to nationalism and assertions of racial superiority after confronting its Nazi past. They were wrong." This is the Associated Press, okay? Sasha, this is going out.
They always go back to that same old tired paradigm about the Nazis and whatnot.
So, I mean, again, a lot of this just sounds, you know, I don't want to sound glib here or tongue-in-cheek, but too good to be true. I mean, you know, are we at a threshold where a party that really represents a difference from the reigning status globalist quo, NATO status quo, could come into power and make real positive changes in Germany again with regards to immigration and so on and so forth? Or is this just more...
When all is said and done, more will be said than done.
Exactly.
If you look to it from a realistic point of view, that will not happen immediately, because even we will see, even when in the to the at the beginning mentioned three federal states, the AfD this year, I think the elections are in September, will win these elections and will be the strongest party. They won't get a chance to govern. There will all the other parties, if needed, all the other parties. May they have quarrels, usually as they would be in war. But then they would make a coalition, and the winner of the elections would be the opposition. That will happen first. However, I have the hope that such a scenario could be one of the most effective medicine in the sense of a red pill for the people, when they see that's no longer democracy, that's a democracy. And I think the
that's clever.
Despite this PSYOP operations, the smear campaigns and everything else, it will be hard for them to stop that surge. But then the crucial point is that we have reached a level here in Germany that not a right-wing party, be it the AfD or be it my party, the Homeland, the Heimat, not the AfD is making the best election campaign. The best election campaign is in the meanwhile government's policy, and that's a problem for that government. And they always try to stop the AfD, but they don't stop their failed state policy, and that's the best election campaign one can have.
Sasha, this is Keith. Is there a regional or geographic distinction that you can draw between the right and the left? For example, I've heard that the AfD is extremely popular in what was East Germany previously. Also, is there an age aspect to this? Do the young tend to be more right-wing and the older people more left-wing? Or how does that all break down?
There is, yes, in the eastern part, of course, that's due to two reasons. One reason is that there's a bit more homogeneity and a bit more understanding for solidarity in the eastern part. They are not suffering as long under the globalist lunatic tyranny. And the other reason is that in the formerly communist part, they don't believe everything what the newspapers are printing. That I have learned under the Bolshevik rule. And that's an advantage now, because here in the West, a lot of people believe everything because they have read it in the newspaper, or they have heard it in TV. And the people in the eastern part of Germany, according to my estimation, are more critical and much more self-thinking. And there is
more based, as we say over here.
Yes, more based. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So I want to get into this right now. We're talking about the situation in Germany. Is it good news? And how good is the news? So I'm doing something here just as an exercise. I'm reading the official Wikipedia definitions for these two parties. First, the alternative for Germany. It reads that the alternative for Germany is a right-wing populist political party in Germany. AfD is known for its Euroscepticism, as well as for opposing immigration to Germany. Commonly described as a party of the far right, the AfD is commonly positioned on the radical right. This is the Wikipedia definition. For the homeland, formerly known as the National Democratic Party, or the NPD, the definition reads that it is a far-right neo-Nazi and ultra-nationalist political party in Germany. So you see, one is labeled a little more radioactively than the other. Sasha, you had commented to me, I guess it was a year ago, maybe longer than that, that the AfD, when compared to your party, the homeland, formerly the NPD, is a little more conservative than revolutionary. However, its support shows that a respectable number of people is increasingly dissatisfied with typical mainstream politics in Germany. So again, I ask you, should they rise to the level of power that it appears as though at least many people in the media
and
fear?
Is there a chance of a coalition between those two groups?
Well, would there be? Would they be able to do any real good? I know I asked that a little bit earlier, but just to really drill into it, could they do any good from our point of view?
That make a real difference.
I think regarding the conservative rights, we, on the one hand, have to be careful not to blindly jump on a bandwagon that is maybe not going in the desired direction at all. And however, on the other hand, we have always to observe the extent to which some of those relatively new and currently successful formations, and even if they're only in partial alternatives, can be considered strategically useful with regard, temporarily or with regard to at least certain aspects. And I think that in times of increasing repression, exercising free speech is often an act of imitation. That people think like we do, but are not as brave as we, even after witnessing the patronizing state of supervised thinking and these repressive measures. It's so. What I want to say is that exercising free speech is often a kind of imitation. So you need the masses needs one who exercises free speech to get the prowess to imitate it then.
Let's take a quick break. Sasha Rossmuller joining us live tonight from Bavaria. A little past midnight over there right now. And we're thankful to have him. TBC's March Around the World stops in Germany this hour.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters. ISIS claiming responsibility for a massive terrorist attack at a concert hall near Moscow. Five gunmen wearing masks, shooting and killing at least 60 people, more than 145 others injured in the attack. Disturbing video posted online showing the five gunmen in military uniforms shooting at civilians with automatic weapons as other people are screaming and running for cover. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby telling reporters,
"There is no indication at this time that Ukrainians were involved in the shooting."
Now, the Russian rock band called Picnic was about to take to the stage to start playing at the sold-out show. The five terrorists also throwing explosives in the building, which started a massive fire. Russian media says none of the venue's security guards had guns and may be among those who were killed. The U.S. Embassy in Moscow had warned Russian authorities of a possible terrorist attack 2 weeks ago. Conservative Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene wants the House Majority Leader removed. Here's USA's John Schaefer.
Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene is advocating for the removal of House Speaker Mike Johnson from his position. Greene has submitted a motion to remove Johnson from the speakership because of his endorsement of a government spending bill exceeding $1 trillion. I'm John Schaefer.
Well wishes coming in from around the world, reacting to news that Princess Kate Middleton being treated for cancer. The princess, who is 42, describing in a video recording how she and her family are dealing with the diagnosis.
"This, of course, came as a huge shock. And William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family.
As for the couple's three children,
as I've said to them, I am well. I'm getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal."
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Attention timeshare owners. Tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed fee legal solution in the country, with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-875-1853. 800-875-1853. That's 800-875-1853.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com. Hey friends, James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interests include contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America.
Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity, The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism, speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone, so check out their catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing. Somewhere beyond the sea, she's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing.
You know, it wasn't too long ago, Keith, within the lifetimes of many of our listeners, that you couldn't do things like this. You couldn't do a broadcast of any sort, certainly not of a dissident perspective, where you could reach all these people from all over the world, as we're doing in real time this month, now in Germany with Sascha Rossmuller.
The internet changed everything for the better from the viewpoint of the right, I think, worldwide.
No doubt about it. I mean, it's given us a puncher's chance. It's given us a new lease on life. We're talking with Sascha Rossmuller about the state of affairs in his native Germany. Now, what is democracy? I mean, what has democracy become? What is democracy? Democracy is the system wins and the people lose. I mean,
that's the new democracy. The old democracy was the will of the people. The will of the people has nothing to do with what the left now calls, quote-unquote, our democracy.
Yeah, it ain't Greece anymore. The elites don't even bother with persuading voters and winning elections, those quaint ideas. They just ban or criminalize their opposition. Democracy has become the process which liberal elites conspire against the will of the voters. Look at Brazil. I mean, instances are too numerous to count, although we cover as many as we can, and we've been covering a lot this month. Look at Brazil, where Bolsonaro has been banned from running for office, their former president. In Belgium, of course, we were talking with Keith Woods in Ireland last week about the case of Dries van Langenhove, a former member of parliament, now going to prison for a year and banned from running for office for a decade. He was a rising star over there. Or in Germany,
Sam Melia or whatever his name is.
Well, I mean, he wasn't a politician, but yes, Germany, which is considering banning the AfD, which is surging in the polls. So this is a comment, Sascha, that came in during the break from a listener, and I'd like to read this and get your response very quickly, and then I know you have some things that you emailed me, 6 points that you want to touch on, and we're going to make time for that. Listener writes, James, you should point out that the Biden government claims that it is opposing Russia because the U.S. supports democracy all over the world, but the U.S. State Department has not issued any statement opposing the German government's scheme to shut down the nation's largest and most popular party. This hypocrisy is nothing new. The U.S. blessed the Greeks government when they arrested 1/6 of the members of the Greek parliament, and the Belgian government's banning of the Vlaams Blok and declaring it to be a criminal organization when Vlaams Blok won the election. America and Biden don't believe in democracy. We're being lied to all the time. Sascha, would you respond to that listener's prescient comment?
I'd like to. I'm very grateful for this question. Quite recently, she's a German. I have to apologize for her. Ursula von der Leyen, the EU Commission's president, she was complaining regarding the Russian elections. She stated that hasn't been a fair election, that hasn't been democratic elections. And I really had to smile, because those words from a woman who is in her position as president of the EU Commission, although not even having been been a candidate at the last European elections. And in Russia, there have been elections. And as far as I heard, in the Ukraine, there Zelensky won't hold elections. And having said this, maybe someone can think of it as a conspiracy theory, but nevertheless quite interesting to mention. If I think in our Looking at the headlines in the German newspapers regarding the warmongering in alignment with the NATO, there is in our German constitution one article 150H, paragraph 1. The first sentence describes if election periods expire during the case of defense, then this expiring will be delayed 6 months after the end of the case of defense. A scoundrel who thinks that could possibly have something to do with the German war rhetoric or something to do with the polls I have cited. So easily for the government, maybe that's a conspiracy theory, but I think noteworthy, easy for the government to declare even an in fact war of aggression in Orwellian misinterpretation as a defense. And then no need anymore for regular elections. And you have an own experience from the United States. For sure, should such a scenario come true, the ones who would then protest for regular democratic elections will be labeled as insurrectionists and domestic terrorists. Let me say one sentence
sure.
more. A few years ago, if you had asked me the question about the discussion, what a democracy means or what it in theory means or what it in practice means, a few years ago, I have said the problem is that we have a plutocracy. Today, my impression is if you, and it's not only in Germany, if you in the Occidental world, if you read, talking about the Occidental world, if you read Aristotle, for example, and you feel some similarities with your home country when reading the section of oclocracy, then you at least know for sure that there is some need for action.
Let me ask you this, just a very quick follow-up to the listener's question and comment just a moment ago. What do you and other people of our mindset think of the U.S.? What do right-thinking Germans think of the United States' position in Europe?
And let me add this to that at the same time. What about the Nord Stream pipeline? You know, that was a dagger directed at the heart of Germany's economy, and if that's the act of a friend, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
Yeah, so what's of our people who think like us in Germany, what is their position on the United States government, at least?
We should not confuse people with the government. But if you're speaking about the government,
exactly,
and the official USA, we see it as a globalist, warmongering hegemon with more and more imperialist drive. And it's still, Germany is still occupied. And if you look, I wonder, I have huge solidarity with the based conservative traditionalist American people. But regarding the official USA and the government, I wonder why the military bases are here in my country when your invasion is on the southern border in Texas.
Yeah, he sees it the same way as we do.
Well, the same thing. You said it earlier. The establishment, the status quo, both in Western Europe, including Germany and America and Canada, is globalist. That's their secret agenda. That's why those bases are all over the rest of the world, because they intend to be a global hegemon, and that's what is behind the Ukrainian war as well.
That's right. All right, Sasha, we are turning a corner now to the last quarter of this interview, 15 minutes remaining, and I want to get into the topics that you emailed me. You've got a few things here you want to touch on. Let's first start with this. I'm not going to go in order here, but let's talk about the fact that you are running as a candidate. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's right. There are also the European elections, and there is no percentage threshold at this European elections, so it's interesting despite the AfD trend to get into this competition. Because of that, a winning a seat cannot be completely ruled out. And MPD did that, by the way, already in 2014. And but I think that's very important. Any genuine nationalist acts at least as a kind of a litmus test for just conservative rights to keep an eye on their parliamentary behavior regarding their electoral mandate and to observe or make some pressure that they will not give in to the establishment for maybe just ineffective promises or a bit less marginalization. And to hold them on track, it's important to have a stabilizing opposition also to the alternative, because the friend-enemy recognition, most of all, must not be lost in Parliament. And moreover, precisely because of Brussels' presumption of competence, detrimental to nation-state sovereignty, this European election campaign offers the opportunity to discuss those relevant aspects. And that is why I have also agreed to stand as a candidate myself. And I have summarized for my party, or asked for a very brief introduction for my motivation. If I can quote here myself as follows, I said, Europe needs a voice that speaks out against geostrategic bloc confrontation in terms of security policy, against mass immigration demographically, against deindustrialization economically, against a debt-based transfer union in terms of fiscal policy, and against an anti-dread family LGBTQXYZ transformation in societal policy. And I'm for European cooperation. However, that cooperation is to organize on a flat rather than a deep integration of then still self-determined nation states, and has essentially itself to define as a economic community in a complementary sense, but not as a political union synchronized. And if Brussels sovereignty sponge proves to be unreformable in that respect, then a Dexit has to be taken into account. And that's short in three sentences why describe my motivation, why I'm running.
And what are you running for, Sasha?
For the European Parliament.
Wow. All right.
Better make sure that the right has a good foothold there, or else you'll be running for your life.
Well, I think anybody who's involved in this knows that there's certain risks. Sasha's very well aware of that. Sasha, an activist in politics for now, 20 years almost, right at 20 years, maybe a little longer than that.
In the meanwhile, I'm 51 years old, and my first public speech in midst of a city center I have held with tender 18 years. So it's more than 30 years.
Well, you're a young man in Germany. Who's that lady named Sabine, who is the supposedly in charge of the youth contingent of the government, and she's 59 years old, so 51, you've got a lot of tread life left on you.
Well, and I should say also, married, he has a son, working as a journalist, and we talked a little bit at the top of the hour about his background in politics that dates back to the very earliest part of this century, the last couple of decades. So he's done it. He's done it on a lot of different levels, now running for a seat in the European Parliament. And Sasha, we want to stay in touch with you about that. When is the election for that?
That is in June. However, very interesting, maybe to mention it with a few sentences, are the elections in Saxonia, because in Saxonia there are the parliamentary elections and the municipal elections. And in Saxonia, my party has also in the municipalities some parliamentarians. However, in Saxonia, there's a very strong movement. It's called Freie Sachsen, Free Saxonians, which is the most relevant movement active in the streets protests. And they are not distancing. And we are also cooperating with my party. And in some municipalities, we have a faction together with parliamentarians of the Freie Sachsen and the Heimat of my party. And they are represented in numerous municipal parliaments all over Saxonia. And I think they will expand their seats across the federal state significantly. And maybe it's not to be ruled out if I look at the polls under the others, what here is left on percentages, maybe next to the leading AfD in Saxonia, maybe even that Freie Sachsen can jump over the threshold to get also into the parliament. And then there would be two right-wing parties and one really good right-wing formation.
Well, Saxonia, as you said, I guess that's what we call Saxony over here. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And Saxony, yeah. Being Anglo-Saxons, that perks us up, too.
Well, so, I mean, I think we would say this, Sasha. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You were on with us January of last year, I believe it was, perhaps February, but not during our march around the world. It's been 2 years since you appeared in this series. Is Germany moving in the right direction compared to where it was 2 years ago? Could we at least say that, even though I know a lot's still uncertain?
It's moving in the right direction. There are, without doubt, there are also idealistic and good working people within in the AfD. Of course, there are people that are a bit frightened. There are people that only want to make a little bit more cosmetics and are waiting to lay in the coalition bed and govern with the center party. But there are also good people, and it's... And such successes of populist parties are often the starter for engaging in politics for a lot of other people who became then a red-pilled. The establishment is a much more challenged what is to welcome. And because of that, that creates an anti-establishment atmosphere. And that's an environment where we can work with.
All right, let's talk about this. You sit to me in your notes, warmongering rhetoric and mobilization measures. Is that with regard to the situation in Russia or Gaza or both? What's going on in Germany with regard to an ever-expanding war footing?
Yeah, that's really worrying. The establishment's discourse isn't anymore about sanctions policy. It's about, like you've heard from some other countries as well, it's about becoming fit for war. At first started the Minister of Defense. However, in the meanwhile, the Minister of Health demand making hospitals fit for war. And since recently, some first politicians demand training kids in schools on war-related emergency behavior. The headlines have been also already that anti-aircraft bunkers ought to be reactivated. And I have even read in the headlines that the chancellery is to be relocated in an emergency move to a secret alternative headquarters. That are all the headlines. And although Germany is not at all fit for war, but it seems horribly addicted to warmongering, and the whole mainstream rhetoric is literally conditioning towards mobilization, which is why my hopes for peacekeeping are unfortunately dwindling. Only the question of war guilt opinions.
Who are the warmongers?
Well, that's it's got to be bad because Germany's allowed to have an army again all of a sudden.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now, see, listen, who are the warmongers? Who's driving this war fever over there?
I think it will be a reversed blitzkrieg, and within 14 days, the fire brigade of Moscow will be in Berlin.
And that may be a good thing.
let's be clear about it. An expanding war, a threat of World War III, that's not a situation which is built for luxury taxes.
There's no upside in that option.
And Yes, as for my part, I personally do not see the impending military conflict as a national defense. And therefore, under any circumstances, I personally will not fight as a NATO accomplice against a by government propaganda imposed enemy. I'm still advocating for peace negotiations. And of course, war preparations will also be made by me, but in a different way.
Well, who are these people? Who are these warmongers? Do you have a equivalent of the neocons over there, or who is driving the war fever?
There is one splinter group of the most famous, formerly from the left wing, which is which is arguing against that warmongering, and the AfD is against that warmongering. However, all other parties, even the Greens, and then those parties and for on the left side, traditionally always peace hippies, now no longer Greens. They're in the meanwhile, they are olive Greens.
Hey, Sasha, let me ask you this because I want you to plug the magazine very quick. I'm telling you, well, let's do that first. The magazine you write for represents, I think, the height of what our media could strive to be. It is slick. It is polished. It is well done. Had the honor of being interviewed for that magazine a few years back. We recently collaborated on a more recent piece. Lauren Witzke was involved with that. Tell us the name of the magazine, how folks can find it.
The magazine is called Deutsche Stimme. It's a German voice translated. And I really think it's a high-quality magazine in every regard of how it's made, and regarding the graphics, regarding the content, the issues that are touched, and the interview partners. You also have been one very interesting in the next issue that will be published. I could interview. There is a quarrel between the European Union and the Slovakian Republic. And I could interview the counselor, the advisor of the Minister of Justice from the Slovakia. I think we do a very professional work. Unfortunately for Americans, this magazine is only available in German language. We are not successful enough to print the English version, maybe a few years.
I will tell you this, my friend. If you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, yeah. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, you look at the promo post for tonight's program advertising the fact that Sasha is going to be there. You can link over to the website for this magazine. And the one good thing about Google is they can translate, and they do translate it into, well, choppy English, but I think you can make do. And I'm reading it. I'm at the website right now. Our side can produce highly, highly professional level of content.
See, this is really earlier.
One of the best worldwide. I got to ask him this, though, because we got to get this. We got a minute remaining. A big conference coming up in Finland soon. Sasha, give us the details on that, and we'll give Keith the last word. Very quick.
There is the Awakening Conference in Finland. I have the honor to share the stage with exciting speakers from different nations. You can register under Awakening Finland at protonmail.com. And there is Dr. Tomislav Sunic from Croatia, Dan Eriksson from Sweden, Mark Collett from Great Britain, Bela Inci from Hungary, Giorgio Dossena from the Italian Casa Pound, and I am speaking there. The motto, the goal of that conference is to analyze and criticize the left liberalist order, to discuss how a post-liberalist order will build forward better, so to say. And I think it's nationalist cooperation instead of globalist synchronization as the call of the hour. And it's the Awakening Conference 2024 in Finland. And register, buy a ticket, go to the airport on April, and let's meet on April 27th near Helsinki.
Coming up soon. Final word to you, Keith.
Well, just Godspeed to Sasha and his party, and for all of his fellow travelers, the people that think like him and like us. I think we're the wave of the future in Europe and in America and everywhere, basically. The left has just gone crazy with this idea of sexual perversion as a civil right, and I think that's what's causing the public opinion to turn against them.
Well, that's one thing. Sasha, the music's about to start. And there it is, 30-second answer
on this. And I have a Telegram channel, Ross Müller Dissident.
We will get it all to you, folks. We linked over to his ex. You can check it out there on Twitter. Is there a growing discontent with regards to immigration in Germany? Just a quick yes or no answer, Sasha.
Yes.
That's a good way to end it. Thank you, Sasha. Very informative interview.
Thank you.
I mean,
for
Germany
me.
Is just a. Well, thank you, my friend. Germany is just such a fascinating place for so many reasons. I'm
be
glad
sure
we were
to drop
able to touch
by
it.
Here if you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to show you around.
Well, that's and true. Forward, and I'm sure he'd say the same thing to us.
Is the next Hendrik in the next?
Yeah,
hour?
Hendrik's. Yeah, I was just about to say we're gonna swim across the.
Forward my greetings to him, please.
I will. I know you were just on with him not long ago. We're going to swim across the North Sea to Sweden with Henrik Pomper next. Thank you, Sasha, in Germany. Stay tuned, everybody. Baltics.